Good. The Nonprofit Spotlight is supported in part by a grant from the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation, helping donors create a permanent fund in our community to support nonprofits today and into the future. Your donations to the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation will be matched dollar for dollar through 2020, up to 185,000 simoleons. More info at ChilkatValleyCF.org. And since it is the Nonprofit Spotlight, I have Nancy Schnabelin here to talk about hospice, a very important nonprofit in our community, certainly. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So give us sort of a sketch of hospice. I think we've all heard of it and we kind of know what it does, but maybe a deeper dive into, into the organization.
Hospice of Haines is an all-volunteer, non-medical organization, nonprofit, that supports the people in the Chilkat Valley in several ways. We have kind of four components to hospice. The first is traditional end-of-life hospice care. Mm-hmm. So that could be a volunteer going in and sitting bedside with someone who's actively dying. It mm-hmm. could be supporting the family in various ways during that time. The second, and what most of our work revolves around, is the program called the Bridge Program, which is anyone in the valley that needs some help. It could be a chronic illness, it could be an acute illness, it could be someone broke legs or an arm and just needs some help. It could be someone that's very ill and that may in fact become a hospice client, but they just need some help. So everything from reading the paper to them, taking them out for lunch, visiting, watching TV together, lots of different things.
Sounds very humane.
It's very, it is the loveliest opportunity to be nice, to be kind, to be neighborly. It's really, it's a great option for.
And it doesn't require any particular specialization other than being a human being.
Right. It, you know, people are doing that all over the community all the time. Mm-hmm. In order to be a volunteer with us, we do require, because we are licensed by the state, we do require you go through our training, which happens in the spring, usually every year. And so the Bridge Program is a huge part. The other component, which is equally as important, is the grief component. And that's organized and managed and run by Liz Marantz-Falvey. And the grief the grief in our valley is huge. It's complex. It's compound. And it touches everybody sometime. Mm-hmm. And so the grief group meets once a year. 6 weeks. They have a follow-up. You can also get a grief companion. So if you're having a difficult time grieving, or if you know someone who's having a difficult time with a loss, you can call us. We can, you know, get their permission to contact them, and we can find a friend who's had some grief training who can, you know, be a friend, be a listener, be an ear. And then the fourth component is our education component, which includes our volunteer training, and various times throughout the year we may bring someone up to speak or have an event or have some sort of training or educational program. So that's kind of hospice in a nutshell.
And how's the, besides the volunteer component, how's the, how is the organization supported?
We are supported by the goodness of people's hearts. We're you know, we depend on donations. We have found that Haines is incredibly generous with us, that we have events that we have that raise funds for us. The rummage sale
the
famous rummage sale. And we have a, you know, a dessert booth at the fair. We have different things throughout the year that, you know, raise funds, the house concerts that Tim McDonough and Myron have hosted several
times.
Those
are wonderful, by the way. They if you ever get a chance to go to them.
They are truly really wonderful. Yep. So we have a lot of fundraisers, but then there's also people that just gift us money. And we've been a recipient of money from the Community Foundation. We've been gifted from the Rasmussen Foundation. So I really feel like, you know, everyone has been extremely generous. You know, when you live in Haines, there's a lot of opportunities to give your money to a lot of different wonderful causes. And so when people choose to give money to us, we take it seriously. We watch our pennies closely, and we're very grateful.
But I expect that the people themselves are very grateful, because the service of hospice probably has touched every life in this community.
It has, and I think sometimes you don't know how much it has mm-hmm. touched you.
Right.
You know, usually someone has an event or a loss, or they know of a loss, or they know of someone that's grieving, or they're grieving. And hospice is, I just feel like we're really fortunate in this wonderful place, mm-hmm. in this wonderful town, to have this service.
How did you get into it personally?
I love Beth McCready, who's mm-hmm. our director, and I wanted to do it because Beth was doing it,
oh,
and
cool.
I didn't
yep.
want to do it because it seemed hard. And then I lost my own father mm-hmm. to lung cancer, and at the end of his life, we had hospice in Portland.
Right.
And I realized I have to participate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want to participate. So that was my road in.
Huh. That's good.
And usually for everybody, there's a story like that.
Right.
You know, there's mm-hmm. somebody that they lost, or somebody that they loved, or
yeah.
somebody that they know.
My dad had hospice
exactly.
in his life, also lung cancer, and exactly. I saw it close
yeah.
up.
You know, we were at Beth and I were working the booth at the fair one year, and this woman, you know, from out of town comes up, and she drops $100 in our donation mm-hmm. jar and says, I just love hospice.
Mm-hmm.
They've done so much for my own family. And, like, she didn't live here.
Right.
So it's a really... It's great work.
Mm-hmm.
It's at times incredibly difficult.
Sure.
And very rewarding.
Right.
And I think, you know, if you talk to, you know, our volunteers and people that have received our services, it's a great thing.
Yeah. I think the service of, to the extent possible, demystifying death, because
mm-hmm.
we're all going to have one.
We're all going to do it,
and
right?
It has always struck me as pretty weird about our culture that we try to ignore it.
Right.
We try to ignore the one thing that is certain to happen. Once you're born, you're going to die. And
exactly.
why don't we talk about it? And
right.
I think hospice
right.
does that. And I know, you know, that you guys go in and you're helping the person who's dying, but you're also helping the people around them to understand.
Absolutely.
Here's what it's like.
Right.
Here's what you're likely to see, or here's what you might see. And just knowing ahead of time is really comforting, I think.
Absolutely. And when we have a client, whether it's a bridge client or a hospice client, it's that person as well as everybody that's
mm-hmm.
in their life right then,
right.
because everybody is going through the experience, and they're all experiencing it just a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to be in that space and hold space for all of those people
mm-hmm.
and try to be helpful,
yep.
try to be... make it a little easier
mm-hmm.
is our goal.
Right. But then also I expect part of the benefit of volunteering with it is that you get familiar with the whole thing as well. Very familiar with
Oh, absolutely.
So how has your attitude toward your eventual passage changed with your exposure to hospice?
You know, I think for me, I want to be able to, maybe not right this minute, but I want to be able to talk about it
mm-hmm.
as I mean, obviously some people don't have any warning that they're going to die,
right.
but assuming that you have some mm-hmm. sort of event or illness, I'd like to be able to talk to the people that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be able to address it and talk about it and say, you know, I'm not going to be here. Here's what I want you to know. Here's
mm-hmm.
what I want you to, you know, just be able to, like, I think about my boys, you know, I
right.
want to be able to talk to them. I want
sure.
to be able to tell them. And, you know, my dad was an amazing guy, really funny, really talkative, really personable. But when he was dying, he was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really hard.
Yeah.
That was a hard thing for
mm-hmm.
all of us because it was not his personality.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that you do what you can do. You know,
right.
the person that is going through it gets to do what they
right.
can do.
It's theirs.
And everybody else
right.
just gets on board.
Right.
But for me,
mm-hmm.
I would like to be able to meet it with some humor
mm-hmm.
and some presence of mind
yes.
and some, you know, last words.
Yeah.
Those last words are important.
Yep. My own father was He was convinced 4 hours before, he was clearly dying to all of us. And he came from that generation of tough, silent men.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was convinced he wasn't going to die.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
So I learned from that. And with the hospice person on board, it's just, I actually want to sort of just accept it ahead of time and
right.
say, it's coming.
It's
and then coming. Yeah. And then you have a chance to get the most out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you're on to the next chapter.
And then you're on to something else.
Right. But you may as well kind of slide through it as smoothly as possible.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah,
that's
any final words? We've got another minute and a half or so, 2 minutes.
No, I just thank you for having us. You know, if there's someone out there listening that feels like they need something that we might be able to provide, give us a call. We're in the book.
What about people that want to volunteer? What's the
process? Call us and let us know. We do, because we're licensed by the state, we are required to give a training.
Sure.
We do trainings once a year, but if we get, you know, a group of people that would be interested, we could potentially do something else. We could, you know, we've had hospice nurses from other parts of the states that have come, and you know, we're not going to put them through all that same training, but we're going to give them our program training. So we'll work with everybody. We want volunteers. We need volunteers.
Yeah.
Our program can't run if we don't have people.
Right. How many volunteers are there?
Right now there's probably about 40.
And that's significant.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. We have great volunteers, but you know, that's somebody's out of town. Somebody's coming back to town. You know, it comes and goes, and, our volunteer coordinator is Shannon McFeeters. She's a master at finding matches between clients and volunteers. And Beth McCready is our director.
Yep.
We have a great board. It's
it's so cool to see a high functioning organization in town that does very important work like that.
Thanks. It's good work to do, and we enjoy being in the Valley, active, trying to help where we can.
And it's. Everybody here is going to die.
Everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
And, that's and on wonderful. That happy note. That,
well, you know, it's like die as happily as you can.
That's right.
And, you know, hospice is helping with that.
Yep.
So we appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, Nancy. Great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Nancy Schnabel from Hospice on the Nonprofit Spotlight. Very important work, wonderful work, and nice to see Nancy's smiling face over the microphone. Lots of fun.